Hey, sorry to keep you guys waiting. Sorry I was late. The finality of an NFL season, it hits me every single time. How sudden it's here. You know, you think you got this big team meeting, and the guys check out, they get their exit physicals, talk to their coach, turn in their playbooks, turn in their equipment. But I mean, you get in that meeting room, there's just really not that much to say. I mean, you know, there's been a million things said over the season. And, you know, you wrap it up, you talk about when guys are going to be coming back, several individual meetings with players throughout. But then, I mean, we're out of that room, you guys get them for a few minutes, and it's over. And I had a couple of players come up after. That was a thing that kept me a little bit late here. So apologize for that, and fire away.
Dirk, what was your message to the team today? Goodbye.
Yeah, just that you know, we didn't meet our own expectations, and you know, that obviously always starts with the head football coach, and that I really appreciated their effort and hanging in there, which they did a good job of that. We competed till the end; no one could ever take that from them, and that you know, there's change. There's always change every year in the NFL, and this year will be no exception. And that, you know, change is hard at first and messy in the middle and hopefully good in the end.
Dirk, last year at this time you suggested you might consider giving up play calling.
That didn't take long to get to that one. I thought that at least get slid down to about 10th.
Well, we could move it back if you want.
No, let's just get it out of the way.
Well, what's your thinking at this point?
Yeah, that's probably not going to happen. I should have never said that last year.
Well, you're just being honest.
Yeah. No, everything's looked at every year. That really is true. Everything is looked at. I mean, the coaches actually get this afternoon off, and when we come back in here tomorrow, you're evaluating everything. I mean, there's a schedule. It starts off with, you know, you're evaluating the players. After we get done with the coaches evaluating the players, then you know, Jason and I are doing our evaluations of everything in the program. So everything's looked at. The way the calendar is now, when the players don't come back till mid-April, you got plenty of time. I mean, you're doing your evaluation at the same time you're starting on your free agents. We got the college all-star games coming up. It flows. It's a calendar that flows, and we really do look at everything. But That's one of the things in there, but I'm going to be the play caller.
As you stand here today, I mean, would you think Mike Smith, like the major roles that you have for your coordinators, would they still be?
Yeah, I would think so. But, you know, one thing I've learned in my time is never say never.
Dirk, last night you mentioned you were grateful and said it took courage for the Glazer family to bring you back and to bring your staff back. But by that, can we assume that everyone you want to bring back will be coming back for 18?
Well, as I just said, I mean, it's probably not 100% safe to assume anything. And, you know, just look at what's happening around this league today. There's a lot of stuff. I mean, again, I am very appreciative of the Glazer family. Going to give me and my staff the opportunity to come back and, you know, fix the things that we didn't do good enough this year. Really appreciate that. And I do think it took courage because, you know, you just look around the league. I mean, again, it's there's ones that surprise you the way they went, and there's other ones that surprise you the way they didn't go. And I'm sure plenty of people are surprised by this. But, you know, appreciate the opportunity, and, you know, we're gonna do our best to fix it.
So, Coach, just to clarify, so as you stand here now, Mike Smith and Todd Monken, they're coming back. They're part of your team in free 2018?
Well, yeah, as I stand here now. But, again, this is all, remember, a lot of stuff has happened since Friday at 3 o'clock. And our main thing was to finish out the season, finish out last night. And, you know, we'll see. We'll just have to see what happens here. You know, things are going to be moving fast these next few days. I'm talking about in the league. And anytime there's major things happening in the league, it can have implications to the other teams in the league.
Dirk, on offense, sticking to offense for a minute. You gained a lot of yards this year, but you didn't score as many points as you would like.
Yep.
What does that tell you as a head coach?
That we need to score more points. I mean, Yeah, that's, I mean, we moved the ball up and down the field. We didn't score enough touchdowns in the red zone. We missed too many field goals. Points win games. There's metrics that add up to points, turnovers, explosive plays, sacks. But the bottom line is points, however you get them. The biggest play in that game last night was Josh Robinson kicking that punt back. Okay, that's 7 points. Boom, just like that. That no yards accounted for those plays. Those were instant points that flipped that game around right there, one play. So, you know, the biggest thing, just without doing too much thinking about it, just right off the top, is we've got to score touchdowns in the red zone. We have to do better. And, you know, that's easy for me to stand up here and say we have to do better. Everyone knows that. I mean, how are we going to do it better? That's a lot harder. I mean, we've got to figure that out.
Dirk, you know, you were in so many close games, and some you had the lead in the fourth quarter and couldn't close it out. Was a lot of that just because you couldn't get to the quarterback? I mean, how much of the injury to Spence and not having a lot of good edge rushers or depth there got you in the end?
Yeah, I just think when you look at I think if I might be wrong on this stat, but I believe we're 3-7 in one score games, and you know, you're going to have a hard time getting where you want to go winning 30% of one score games. You just, you know, you got to be higher than that. So you could bring a whole lot of stuff, but I mean, we have enough talent on offense to score more points. All right, so score more points. That's one issue. The number two biggest issue on our football team is we can't get pressure with a 4-man rush. Okay, I'm not telling anybody any big secrets here. Those are our two biggest things that need to be addressed. There's a lot of other stuff in there too, but those are two things just right off the bat moving forward that have to be better if our team's going to be better.
Through the summer, you said many times through the summer that this team has more talent than you've since you've been here. We saw you tell Jameis out on Hard Knocks. Do you think you overvalued that talent a little bit?
Overvalued? No, I don't think we overvalued it. I mean, I do a lot of presentations to the guys about talent, and you know, one of the quotes I use is talent is cheaper than table salt. I mean, everyone in the NFL is talented. Okay, so we talk a lot to the guys about ways to enhance your talent, and all 32 teams in the NFL have talent. I'll stand by my comment that it's the most talent that we've had. I'll stand by that, no problem. And I still believe that. But getting that talent to score enough points and rush the passer enough is what we didn't do. And again, that's I'm not blaming anybody. I'll start right there with me.
Did Peyton Barber show you enough these last few weeks to be considered for the lead back role going forward in the next season?
I think he'd be right there. I think he'd be, you know, that will definitely be a consideration. You know, Peyton did a good job with his opportunities this year. I mean, you're going to be looking to improve your football team across the board. And if recent history in the NFL has shown anything, it's shown that good running backs can come out of nowhere. You know, that just look around the league. There's running backs that you've never heard of in college that are doing well in the NFL. So, you know, I do think Peyton did a nice job with his opportunities, and he's definitely steadily improved his whole time in the NFL.
So, Jameis Winston, 6 turnovers in the last 2 games. On one hand, right, it's good that you have a quarterback that can overcome something like that, as we saw last night. At the same time, some of these are drive-killing, mm-hmm. game-changing mistakes. You know, what exactly is your level of concern? Not at all, like, we'll figure it out in time. I've heard you say he's 23.
Yeah, well.
Or we've got to fix this right now.
Well, turnovers are the number one thing that gets you beat. So, very concerned. And again, Jameis knows that. I mean, he knows. Jameis is streaky with his turnovers. You know, he can go 3 or 4 games and not turn the ball over, and then you know, we had a game last night where, you know, we turned it over three times, and it's rare that you can overturn a negative turnover ratio. So definitely something that has to be corrected, and that is one of the top things that would help us not be 3-7 in one score games, because they're hard to overcome when you don't win the turnover. You know, like most teams are in the 90% when they win the turnover battle, and I think you know, we're right real close to that.
Derek, what are some of the things, a couple of things that went wrong in terms of getting the most out of DeSean Jackson this year, Dirk? Because a year ago you said big play capability is like number one priority or up there. And you said a few weeks ago, we haven't done very well on that score this year.
Yeah. So, first of all, DeSean Jackson is a really good football player. I mean, his track record shows that. And if you just had an ISO camera on DeSean Jackson when he was on the field this year, DeSean Jackson wins most of the time. You know, he does what, you know, when he's trying to get behind the defense, he can get behind the defense. So, you know, we did not do a good job of getting him the ball in the positions that he's used to getting it, which is over the top. You know, I think that's something that Jameis, after he came back from the injury, I think Jameis improved his deep ball throwing, and he had two examples of that last night. The one in the first half down the New Orleans sideline to Mike, that ball was right on the money. And then obviously the last throw of the game to Chris. And, you know, you just can't help but think of, well, where was DeSean Jackson on those plays? And so I guess the point I'm trying to make on that is I think DeSean did his part. I see it out there in practice. I mean, I see it on the game tape. So DeSean Jackson hasn't lost a step or anything like that. You know, whether it was by play design or whether it was Jameis's injury during that middle part of the season when maybe Jameis didn't have the confidence that he could put it on the money over 40 yards down the field. But, you know, we didn't do a good job in that area.
Special teams. You mentioned how big a play the Josh Robinson play was, but also had the kicking was early, had two kickoff returns late. How would you evaluate the special teams as a whole for this season?
Well, I think I think all special teams, you know, start with your specialists, okay? And you know, when Pat Murray got here, Pat did a nice job on field goals under 50 yards. He did, you know, he made his kicks under 50 yards. He had a good percentage. Pat's not, his strength is not kickoffs. You know, like, you know, we got teams in this league kicking it 80% touchbacks. And if you just look at what a kickoff return really is, if you just took a touchback every time and took the ball at the 25 yard line, you're going to be in the top 10, you know, just taking it at 25. Well, part of kicking it to the end zone, if you can't kick it to the end zone, is hang time. And, you know, that's one thing that Pat struggled with is hang time on his kickoffs. So, you know, when a guy is getting the ball in not the proper hang time and you got to cover those kicks, it just makes it tougher on your coverage team. So, you know, we struggled with that the last 2 weeks, especially of the season. You know, the other thing is when you start to have injuries on your team, usually that's one of the places you're going to feel it, because anytime guys are injured, okay, so now their backups are elevated to full-time players, and the backups now become the special teams players, other than a handful of guys. Like Josh Robinson is kind of our special teams ace. And, you know, Josh had some health issues himself this year. You take a great example of that. Ryan Smith's a terrific special teams player, but when he becomes a full-time starter, now he's not playing gunner anymore. That's one of the examples. So look at it two ways. We give up a big kickoff return last night, right? We go down score, got momentum, but the biggest play in the game in our favor was a big special teams play that turned the game around. So I guess that stuff evens out.
Dirk, when you look at the 2015 draft last year, Jameis and Donovan, Ali and Quan, a lot of guys that really are part of the foundation going forward. It seems like this year's draft class, you had the same amount of really good players that they can be a part of this foundation moving forward. You see it the same way?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, you look at OJ, Justin, Beckwith, Godwin, the four you mentioned from Jameis's class, and then those four pretty good players right there. And, stringing drafts together is, I think, the key to longevity in the league right now, because the way the salary cap is structured, you know, being able to hold on to those guys through their first 4 years, and that's important that you have those guys and you develop them. So I think we do have an excellent core of young guys based on, you know, the drafts that Jason has put together. It's never going to be perfect. You're not going to, you know, not everyone's going to be exactly perfect, but I think there is a really good young core of guys that we continue to build this team around. I think I heard the stat this morning that there's eight new playoff teams from last year, and I really don't think we're that far away. I mean, of course, I'm going to say that today, but I do believe it.
When you look at Drew Brees, one of the greatest quarterbacks to go in the Hall of Fame, and yet he was 7-9 3 years in a row and threw for over 5,000 yards. And they finally get a run game, and now they have balance, and they win the division.
Yep.
Your inability to run the football, is there too much on Winston or any quarterback when you fail in that area?
Yeah, probably, because it's – I mean, all these teams in this league have all these crazy rush packages, and we spend all of our time on how we're going to block these third down rushing. Now, our third down percentage was off the charts last night, and we did run the ball decent, especially in the first half last night. You know, we had a good little rhythm, a lot of 4, 6, 8 yard gains. But there's no question, Rick, and we say it all the time, I mean, the hardest thing to defend in the NFL is balance. And especially when you get later in the season, you know, you get to some bad weather games or that sort of thing. But if you can run the football, which we did in 2015, and we have not been consistent enough of a running team since, our yards have primarily come through the air. We already had the yards discussion, but you just look at New Orleans in our division, have four Pro Bowl guys, a quarterback, two running backs, and receivers. So being able to run the ball like they can only makes Breeze and the receiving core that much better.
NFL Network rumors about your relationship with Jameis and then the coaching rumors. What did you personally learn from that whole experience?
Don't listen to rumors. Don't listen to rumors is what I learned. Yeah, I mean, again, the NFL is the most popular league in the world. I mean, it's so popular. It's driven by the fans. It's driven by the media. And, you know, we're all blessed to be a part of that. If it wasn't that popular, then I wouldn't be standing up here right now. So, you know, there's going to be things said about your team, said about you personally, said about your relationship with guys that aren't true. And I wish I could go to each person individually and say, hey, that's not true, and here's why. But I can't, all right? I can't do that. So either someone gave me a piece of advice one time that said you should either read all of it or read none of it. And you're probably better off reading none of it.
A.J.
Hawk. That was A.J. Hawk.
The O-line highlights, do you have a couple of maybe things that stood out positively on the O-line this year?
Well, I think the fact that we finished these last few games with only two of our original starters and we're still able to have production on offense with only two starters on the O-line, I really still think that Donovan Smith's 3-year run in the NFL, I mean, there's another guy that if you listen to rumors, you would think Donovan Smith should never play football again. But, I mean, all Donovan Smith does is play hurt, play consistent, play against the best pass rushers in the world. Donovan Smith is a pretty darn good football player. And I think DeMar Dotson was having his best year in the 3 years I've been here. He was having his best year until he was forced out, and he was playing hurt at the time. I think we have depth on the offensive line. I think we have versatility on the offensive line. And, I mean, I know our O-line – I guess I do read some of it. But I know our O-line is heavily criticized. I think our O-line is in the upper half of the league. And I don't know where the line is because I can't rank them all, but – I mean, when I'm looking at tapes of other teams, I see some bad offensive line play. Part of that is injuries, okay, because teams have injuries. But I think our O-line hung in there pretty good.
That interaction last night with Sean Payton, what was that all about after the game?
Yeah. First of all, Sean Payton is a fantastic football coach, and he's been where I would love to go. And at the end of the game, I was wishing him good luck in the playoffs.
You look like he's trying to make a mark on you.
Well, every guy has their own style, I guess.
Derek, do you even want to think about life without Brent Grimes going forward? How much of a sell job you're gonna try to do on number 24 in the offseason?
Well, I tried to give him a sell job this morning, and I told him we would love to have him back. You know, Brent, I think Brent defies his real age, and there's been other guys around the league that have been able to do that. He's a free agent, so he's in control of it, but we'd love to have him back, and I told him that.
Derek, I know you said last question. I'm going to sneak one in real quick. How do you prepare? How concerned are you, with Jameis under this NFL investigation? These things tend to drag on into training camp. Is this a thing now you have to anticipate with the personal conduct policy being so broad that you may not have the guy for a couple of games?
Maybe? Yeah. To be honest, totally honest, Rick, I have not really been involved in that, so I really haven't given that a whole lot of thought, just getting through the season. But that is definitely something that is out there, and I don't have a great answer for you because I haven't been the point person in this building as far as that's been. Then Jason's been more involved in that, and I really have very, very little knowledge of it, and so I can't give you a great answer.
In terms of, you just prepare like you would any, whether it's an injury or anything else in your backup situation?
Yeah, again, like I said, because until Friday, I didn't even know if I was going to be preparing at all. So I really, that's something I kind of have to get up to speed on, to be honest with you. For whatever, I don't even know if there is a progress report. I don't even know where that's at. All right.
Happy New Year.